Okay.
Okay.
You can off the light, somebody off the light, huh? Christina, behind you, huh? Off the light. Okay, I'll read this email to you. Regarding the formal meditation, I will now instruct you accordingly. First, recall to mind, with very strong faith, all of the great virtue, wisdom, great compassion, and great loving-kindness of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Feel them with your heart. His greatness, the fully enlightened one, teacher of man and God. Wisdom, compassion, and loving kindness to develop the initial faith and spiritual calmness within your heart. Then determine to develop this meditation to train the mind to be centered and peaceful so that it does not wander off. The initial training of the mind is done by being mindful or aware of any movement or action within your kaya or physical body. Or alternatively, we are anchoring your mind to your breathing. Just relax yourself and be mindful of your breathing, your in and out breath. So that it does not wander off. When you can anchor your mind to the breathing, the mind will become peaceful. It will not wander off. It will not become heedless. Make the breath your anchor to train your mind to be centered so that it can be calm and peaceful and mindful within. Every time the mind wanders off, just bring it back to your breathing. Through this constant practice of about at least 45 minutes to 1 hour of sitting daily, the mind can be trained to be peaceful and calm. And once you have developed this initial calm and spiritual peace, a type of spiritual joy or pity will arise. Then as you continue to relax them, it will accumulate into sukha and finally develop pasati. Sukha is blissfulness of mind, whereas pasati is tranquility of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you can do it until your mind is very calm, you will feel very good, very happy, and very peaceful within. This will make you like to meditate, because if it's for the first time in your life you experience them, you will develop the interest for it. Then to be able to experience the real spiritual peacefulness and calmness born of meditative training, you will like it because it is very different from the worldly happiness, which are rather gross and rather mundane. There are also some preliminary training required before you begin your meditation. First, you must have a very relaxed and stable sitting posture that can allow you to sit for quite a while without having to change your posture. Then your body and mind must be in a state of relax, and you must allow them to harmonize so that they can support your meditation. To relax the body, you can use the mind sweeping method. This one is what Pamasuri requests me to share with you. The mind sweeping method can allow you to decondition your heedless thinking, your mental hindrance. Temporarily, the mind sweeping method can help you to overcome it. That's why we call it, it can help you to decondition your heedless thinking. In the mind sweeping method or technique, you only feel. There is no more thinking. You feel and relax. Feel and relax. Starting with your forehead. You close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight. Relax body and mind. Then feel. Don't think, just feel. You feel and check with your mind and awareness. If it's not relaxed, relax it. If there's any tension, stress within or tightness, also relax it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you can sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just feel, relax into every mind state. Then you continue to sweep it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel, relax. No thinking, just relax into it. Then in order to help you further to relax naturally, you should visualize yourself facing a mirror radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. And when there is joy, you will naturally relax because there is no stress. Then you can radiate love and metta to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You have to feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind. Feel that each and every cells within your physical body, they are experiencing this happiness and joy. And it will lead to inner peace and inner well-being. You can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your physical body, each and every cells within. Then after that, you can continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you move on to radiate this love or metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones, it can be your mother, your father, or your brothers, your sister, or your close friend, somebody dear to you. May my loved ones all too be well and happy, well and happy. You should visualize them and radiate this metta to them. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue this metta to radiate it to all other beings. May all beings within the vicinity of the whole of Cameron Highland, including all our fellow yogi or kayanamitas, including all beings known and unknown within this vicinity, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful, free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings throughout their entire existence. May all beings throughout the whole of Binchang Town, the whole of Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, the whole of Mother Earth, together with all beings, within the solar system, within our galaxy, within our Milky Way, and all beings throughout the entire universe or existence. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Don't think, just feel and relax. You sweep your mind through. Then you sweep it down to your heart area or chest area. You silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silently relax, relax and relax into it. Then stay with it. Try not to arise any thought. If you are new, then it's okay. You just feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax it. Then you move on to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Then you sweep down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then after that, you can reverse this mind sweeping method. From your leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, feel, relax. Then your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then relax everything, silence everything. Then maintain awareness at your nostril, the breathing there. Breathe in, breathe out naturally. Silence everything. Maintain attentiveness at the breath. Then I will teach you how to develop anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is to stabilize your calm mind, your sati, or tranquility of mind. So like the Buddha's explanation in Anapanasati Sutta, he said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware, which means the moment you can detect your breathing, whether it's an in and out breathing, your mind and the breath just move as one, allow the mind to follow the breathing. Means breathing in, the mind is aware, breathing out, the mind is aware. So the breath and the awareness, they are in perfect harmony as one. Now this is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So initially, if you are new, this mind will wander off and become heedless because your stability of spiritual faculties are not there. So you have to train. That's how the mindfulness need to be trained. After you train using mind sweeping method, you need to stabilize it via anapanasati. So every time it wanders off, don't worry, don't react, don't complain, and don't get unhappy, so that the mental hindrance does not arise. You just understand that the heedless mind thinks a lot. The untrained mind also like the heedless mind thing a lot. So you just maintain that patience to be aware. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. If you are patient enough, within 10 or 15 minutes, the anapanasati will stabilize, it will develop. Then when it develops, you will find the meditation very different. Then as anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath builds up, there is a type of energy which will also build up. It will make you very calm, very peaceful, and you will start to experience piti, a spiritual calmness, or spiritual rapture or joy. Then you continue to relax into it. Most important thing is to relax into it. Every mind state that arises, just relax into it. When you relax into it, the energy will not build up. Then you continue to be silent and just aware and allow this anapanasati to develop until it becomes very stable. Until finally, like no more movement, very quiet, very still. And that is the meditative mind, that is the silent mind, that is paucity. Okay, I'll allow you to train your mind to develop the stability of mindfulness. Then I will ring the bell after about another 20 minutes. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. These are the mind state that you need to stabilize it so that you can be mindful in the midst of life to develop the daily mindfulness. Here is mostly for those who are still new. You have yet to train your daily mindfulness and stabilize it. You need to train your spiritual faculty first. Spiritual faculties can be developed in many ways. Yeah? Maybe I will explain it now. Like I explained just now, you look at the whiteboard. The reason why living being cannot meditate is, according to the Buddhas, you have this five mental hindrance. The mental hindrance arise because you don't have this spiritual faculty. That's why you are incapable of having this calm state of mind. The inner mindfulness, you are not able to have it. And because there is no mindfulness, there can never be samadhi. Without mindfulness, samadhi cannot arise. You need to have mindfulness, stabilize it, to be ever mindful. Then only it can accumulate into samadhi. And without the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, it's very difficult to develop the composed mind, to become peaceful, to meditate. To overcome, like what I wrote on the whiteboard, restlessness of mind. That is also the reason why just now when we have our puja chanting, after the puja, we didn't finish the puja chanting. We took the precept and we didn't go into the puja chanting. Maybe I will go into it afterwards. Remind me before I end. Because we had the puja, then I didn't teach you how to reflect on the puja offering. We should do that because that is what we do on our Tuesday class, Thursday class, and our Sunday class. Remind me to do that. As mentioned earlier on, the reason why living beings have problem is they cannot develop this spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrance. So our main focus now is to train our mind to develop this spiritual faculty. The main training is of course meditation, which is to train yourself to have the third spiritual faculty or sati, which is mindfulness. You can either use anapanasati or mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, then stabilize it with any of the meditation technique or method that you are familiar with. Whatever you have been doing, you can use that to stabilize it. It's up to you. You only need to understand that you only have to do all this is because your spiritual faculty are not developed. That's why you need to train. You need to have method and technique, mind sweeping method, skillful means to train. But the moment the spiritual faculty is there, like I explained, it straight away brings about the end of all this mental hindrance. The spiritual faculty will overcome and cause the mental hindrance to cease. So if we can develop spiritual faculty, then technically we don't have to go into the method and the technique to train our mind to do all those thought-based meditation. So what I will do now is I will explain to you how to develop the first two spiritual faculties of Sadha and Virya. If you have been listening to my Dhamma sharing, you have been reading my transcript, you would have already know what to do. The first spiritual faculty is Sadha. The Buddha called it faith. Faith in his teaching. Faith in him. And how do we develop this faith? This faith is not blind faith. Not just believing. This faith must come through understanding. That's why the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate and chant the salutation to the Buddha. The nine great virtues that makes him the Buddha. So out of the nine great virtues, he got two very special ones. Yeah. He is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Because he is the blessed one, he is blessed with wisdom and virtue. And because he is blessed with wisdom and virtue, he has perfected his cultivation and become the worthy one, who is worthy of respect, offering, hospitality, and food and shelter. Then the last one is, of course, he is the Sammasambuddha. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. That is his noble quality. That's why we always chant in the salutation to the Buddha. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. So, homage to thee. The blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. That is the chanting of Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. So that is to acknowledge his great quality. Then the next one is, he is the teacher of man and God. He can teach any living being, including the devas and the God and the Brahmas. And because of this unique quality, you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. So to have such a being to be your teacher and your guide, you will have a lot of faith in him, a lot of respect in him, and a lot of gratitude towards him. Because he is the wisest and the most virtuous. And because of his full enlightenment, he has this teaching which can liberate living beings, can bring about enlightenment. So if I were to know that the Buddha is so unique and so special, what must I do? I must have faith, unshakable faith in him. Then I must determine to walk this way, to cultivate his teaching. That's how you develop the faith, the sadha leading to the virya, which is a spiritual zeal and intensity or tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate his teaching, to realize the enlightenment that he has taught us. That's why sadha and virya can be developed. Then it's just like in our daily life. If you want to be successful in life, the first thing we must have is confidence in ourselves. So that confidence is quite similar, sadha. But in the Buddhist context, spiritual context, here confidence is not about self-confidence. It's about confidence of faith in the Buddha and his teaching. We are an understanding, not blind faith. So these are the first two spiritual faculty that you have developed. Once you have that faith and the spiritual zeal to go this way, the next outcome is very obvious. If you have the virya to drive you to cultivate, what is the first thing that you will cultivate? Yeah. Just now we've gone through heedfulness, isn't it? What is heedfulness? What is heedfulness? When you want to cultivate, the Buddha always talk about heedfulness. Or apamada. So heedfulness equals what? Constantly meditative and ever mindful. Ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. So these are the two characteristics of heedfulness. Meditative. When you have these two qualities, you are heedful. So after you have saddha and virya, it will drive you to cultivate. The next cultivation is what? To develop? What do you develop? Sati. Because without sati, you can never be ever mindful. True or not? You have to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to become ever mindful. That's why all of meditation center on this. That's why the method and the technique is to train the mind to have mindfulness on the object of meditation. But they didn't know. They go and focus. They go and concentrate. That's why the Buddha never teach focusing and concentrating. He just say mindful of the in and out breath. Mindfulness. And when you are mindful, you can stabilize it to become ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by him. That's why they're constantly meditative. So this one, meditation as taught by the Buddha, if you go through his Four Noble Truths teaching, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the First Noble Truth explained to you the prevalence of suffering, the Noble Truth of suffering. It has got nothing to do with the enlightenment. It just tells you what suffering is. Because there is a Noble Truth that explained to you clearly the eight reality that can bring about suffering when you don't have the wisdom, when you confront them without understanding. Then the second Noble Truth explained to you the cause of arising of suffering. The cause is always your craving, born of delusion, your lack of understanding, self-delusion. And self-delusion is the cause of suffering because it conditions craving. When you are deluded, you think you exist, you are real, then you have selfishness, you have craving, you have desire. And that is the cause of suffering. Again, it's not a meditation. It's just a proclamation of truth. Then there is a third noble truth that the Buddha proclaimed. He said, there is a noble truth that talks of the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now. The Buddha said, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So there is a third noble truth that explains to you clearly what enlightenment is. This is enlightenment. But this is not the meditation. He never teach you as yet how to do it. So we have to move on to the fourth noble truth. And what is the fourth noble truth? The Buddha proclaimed, he said, there is this noble eightfold path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. And your purpose of coming here to meditate is to realize this wisdom, to awaken, to become enlightened. So this particular word, meditative, is noble eightfold path. That's why you have to be constantly meditative, means constantly cultivating this noble eightfold path. But Noble Eightfold Path cannot be cultivated without the mindfulness, the ever mindfulness, the silent mind. You cannot use thought to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You can never become awakened or enlightened because thought is limited. Thought can never understand all these things. The Dhamma that you are trying to realize is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why it's called Akaliko under the salutation to the Dhamma. You read through the chanting book, the translation, you will understand. Okay? So, first thing you do in meditation is to train your mind to be mindful, aware. That's why we teach you some skillful means. Before your spiritual faculties develop, you have to meditate, then you got no choice. Then you have to train. So when you train, that's why just now I say, for those who still want to meditate, you continue. For those who are not, come out of the meditation. Then mindfully, yeah, come out of the meditation. Then maintain whatever mind state that you have developed. Your inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, or your spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, or any wisdom or panya that you have developed. You have to maintain them for as long as you can. But these are the spiritual faculty that can enable you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why you should be cultivating this one constantly. Then don't worry about the mental hindrance. It will cease by itself. When you are mindful and you are able to stabilize it to become ever mindful, means throughout the day, you are just being aware, mindful, heedful. So from a heedless way of living, you have trained yourself to become heedful. And over the next few days, you will experience the difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. Then like the Buddha said, Dhammapada verse 22, the wise one, they will intend on heedfulness. Then they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. And this is the meaning. When you see the big difference between the crazy heedless living in your daily life, as opposed to the heedful living while you are at the retreat, you will definitely intend on heedfulness, mindfulness, and you will never be heedless anymore. That's why in the earlier retreat, I again advise you all the same. When you are out of the retreat, when you see this very clearly, you will intend on heedfulness, and you will train yourself to be ever mindful in the midst of life, to become heedful. Then your life will change. Then from a heedless way of living life, you become very heedful throughout the day. And the heedful will never die. You will be destined for enlightenment. Wisdom will continuously arise when you are heedful. When you are heedful, you will have all the spiritual faculty with you. And you will be constantly meditating, cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. And you will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path that makes you an enlightened being, noble ones, enlightened ones. If you don't have this Noble Eightfold Path, that type of enlightenment is not the one that the Buddha taught. If you are still very crude in the way you understand life, you don't have right view, right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you don't have the right thought, right speech, right action, and right effort to cultivate and purify, means you are incapable of wholesomeness, virtue. You are very crude in your approach to life. The way you arise your thought, the way you communicate or arise your speech, and the way you act, you are so crude. You don't have Noble Eightfold Path understanding. Then you are never diligently cultivating the Four Right Effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong speech and the wrong action. Then right effort to prevent them from arising. Then right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and the right livelihood. And all these are part of the meditative training to make you virtuous and beautiful, wise. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very different from other type of meditation. Then when you are ever mindful with the samadhi, you keep on seeing things as they are, awakening to the truth, developing wisdom. That's how you become an enlightened being. So with this understanding now, you can understand why in this retreat you are here to develop sati. So just now I try to explain to you how can we develop the spiritual faculty. I have explained how you develop sadha and virya, then now sati. Sati, just now I teach you some skillful means. If your spiritual faculty is still not there, you need to train the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind. So how do you train? You have to use skillful means, no choice. But a better skillful means is to avoid the focusing and the concentration. That's why you use mind sweeping method. You know why you have to use mind sweeping method? In the mind sweeping method, what do you do? Yeah? You start off with the forehead, what do? You just feel it there. True or not? You just feel it there. Do you think? You don't think. So when you feel, after that, what do you do? What do you do after that? Louder, louder. Ah, relax. Very good. Relax. So when you feel and relax, what happens? You become peaceful, isn't it? Correct or not? And what do you relax? Because when you feel, you must have something for you to feel, isn't it? If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax it. And when you relax it, all this stress is gone. The mind go back to its original state of peacefulness, stillness, silence. That's how it reverts back to its original silence when it was without thought. So mind sweeping method is to decondition the heedless thinking. Because you have been thinking non-stop, heedlessly throughout the day when you are living your life. That's why my Form 6 lady teacher used to share with us, and I used to express this in my essay to her. I say, human beings are a creature of thought. You heard of it, a creature of thought, T-H-O-U-G-H-T. Living being or human being think a lot, creature of thought. And we are a gregarious being, means we need to have relationship to survive. Without relationship, very difficult. So as a creature of thought, you think a lot. So mind-sweeping method is to decondition the heedless thinking. And you know, thinking, if you keep on thinking non-stop, it becomes habitual tendency. Do you understand? Habitual tendency. And what is habitual tendency? Things that you repeat habitually. So your five mental hindrance, I ask you one question. If you throughout the day arise the sensual desire, you will. It become a habitual tendency, isn't it? So this habitual tendency will create mental hindrance almost throughout the day. So how can you be peaceful? How can you be mindful, heedful? How can you meditate? That's why, no way. So this habitual tendency create a lot of mental hindrance for living being. So when we understand this, we have to reverse this through cultivating spiritual faculty. Then before the spiritual faculty is there, you need to cultivate, you have to do something to decondition the heedless thinking. If I think a lot, what must I do? I cannot force myself not to think, isn't it? True or not? But I can train myself not to think by feeling and relax, which is the mind sweeping method. So when you do that, what happens is, like this bell, there is this, the handle that I use to ring the bell. So if you have a continuous heedless thinking, it's like this thing has its own momentum to move, understand? So if I were to move like that, I don't need much strength in it. It will continue to move in it. So your heedless thinking is the same. The momentum to think is already so habitual. So thinking is like automatic, no need anything to move you. The thought will continuously arise. Your thought is respond to memory, and you are so heedless. Continuously, you will arise the thought, the thinking. And why do you think? Because you have fear, worry, anxiety. You don't have the wisdom, the understanding. You are deluded. You have ignorance. That's why the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance, avijja, you create mental activity. That's how the first tooling of dependent origination, paticca samuppada, arise. So when paticca samuppada arise, avijja paccaya sankhara, due to ignorance, you will think. That's how the thinking keep on continuing. As long as you are not enlightened, you don't have wisdom, you will continue to be heedless and have a lot of thought. And the sign of progress is when you have less and less thought, when you have straightened your views, less deluded, less wrong view, then you realize your sankhara also less, means thinking also less. That's why you have more and more moment of sati or awareness. That's how you progress. You cannot be more and more mindful, more and more clarity, then you are heedless, continuously thinking, lost in thought. That's why you cannot develop the meditation. So, based on this analogy, you will understand, when I do the mind-sweeping method, what am I doing? I just feel in it. Then I relax. Then this thinking cannot continue in it. True or not? Yeah? When you are doing the mind-sweeping method, are you thinking? You are not thinking, is it? You just feel, relax, feel, relax. So this will decondition the healer's thinking, so it cannot think. Then after a period of 10 to 15 minutes, your mind will naturally calm down. You feel more peaceful. I realized it 34 years ago. That's why I like this mind-sweeping method. Yeah. And I develop it further and evolve it. Then, like momentum that drive the thinking, the moment I feel and I relax, I don't think anymore, this thinking stop. After it stop, do you know how difficult is it to move this momentum or not? To get the cycle of thinking back. Because there is nothing else to move you, like earlier on, the heedless thinking. So the momentum to think again is actually not easy. You need more mental hindrance to drive that thinking. So as long as you continuously develop the mind-sweeping method and calm yourself down, your mind will take a while to start the heedless thinking again, like any habitual tendency. That's why mind-sweeping method has this advantage. It trains the mind to be silent, to just feel. Feeling is very near sati. Feeling is pure feeling before the content go in. So that's why when you feel, it's very near the awareness, but it's not the sati or awareness. So when you just feel, relax, there is nothing. Then this will decondition the heedless thinking and make you aware. Then you train that mind from awareness, you stabilize it to be ever mindful. It's a lot easier. That's why I combine the mind-sweeping method with anapanasati. Then some of you cannot relax. You find it very difficult to relax. That's why I put in another skillful mean. Ask you to radiate a radiant smile facing a mirror where you can smile. There is joy. Joy means no stress. Naturally relax. Then I combine with loving kindness is because when you are able to develop the inner calmness, inner peacefulness through mind-sweeping method, you become calm. But this inner calmness, there is no inner well-being, understand not? Your cells, your physical element, the bodies, there is no joy, there is no positive energy. There is just a quiet moment, silent, which is very good. But inner peace without inner well-being will not help you to recover your mind state, your physical health, your whatever cells within your physical body. So when you radiate this loving kindness energy inside and develop the inner well-being for your physical body, for all the cells within your physical body, when you feel the inner well-being, that's why we radiate, may I, this body of, and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness, Chicho. And this positive energy gives rise to the inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being, leading to inner awareness is very important. And this is what mind sweeping method followed by anapanasati, ametta, then anapanasati. These are very good, skillful means or training to develop mindfulness, the third spiritual faculty. The other very good one is just bowing, then walking. Just walk. Walk naturally. Don't try to slow down your walk. Forget about it. Kaya Nupasana is to anchor your awareness or sati or mindfulness to your physical body, kaya. Your breath is part of kaya. And your breath is always in the moment. Your activity, movement of this physical body is always in the moment. So you can be mindful of your kaya, either your breathing or your movement. You are always in the present moment in sati without thought. That's why the first training is to train your mind to be aware. That's the reason why the Buddha said start with anapanasati, then the four posture. The four posture is also the movement of your kaya, and they are always in the present moment. When you are aware of sitting, you are fully aware now. It cannot be some other time. Then when I stand, the posture is always in that state. That's why the Master Sen Yen, the Fakusan, he teach mindfulness very simple, is it? Wherever your body is, your mind is, there is meditation, there is sati. Sen zai nali, sing zai nali. Then he always emphasize on relax, fang song, chuan ti fang song. That's why he says 16 words for meditation. Sen zai nali, sing zai nali, fang song, chuan ti fang song. So this is how people who understand teach you and train you. So the Buddha said, after you train yourself in anapanasati, you develop mindfulness of the four posture. Then mindfulness and clear comprehension of all the connecting posture between the four posture. And that is daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Daily mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. That's why the Buddha said, standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then when it comes to sati sampajana, I say, standing, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching, all aware, putting on the shoulder cloth, means the monk's robe and all those things, fully aware, answering nature's call, aware, everything you do, aware. This is to connect the four posture activity so that you are mindful throughout the day, daily mindfulness. And that's how you train your mind to have sati, the third spiritual faculty. And when you just do until sati come, you will know. Bowing is one of them. Chanting is one of them. This is to build up the faith, chanting. When you have faith in the Buddha, you keep on chanting. The sadhavirya will manifest. Then when you chant until the chanting and the mindfulness as one, sati is there. Then when it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. That's why those people who do a lot of chanting, a lot of bowing, they suddenly understand the Dhamma. How? Because the spiritual faculty developed. Now you understand. Yeah. So when you understand, the way you meditate become different. You check, is the spiritual faculty there? Not there, I train. If I train, I don't have to waste time on the method technique. The moment the spiritual faculty is there, meditation is automatic. I haven't explained this to all those new people. You know what is automatic? After I develop that mindfulness, the sati, the spiritual faculty, I realize I don't have to train my mind anymore. I don't have to go into anapanasati and settle down, then after that develop the meditation, no more. I can straight away sit down, straight away go into stillness, silent, no thought, nothing, no movement. That is the power of the spiritual faculty. It's okay. See? Or you pull it out. Pull it out. Okay. That's the reason why I can share with you, because I went through the cultivation. Then I realized what had been taught is different. Just pull it out. Back again. Thank you. Then as I go through all this, I realize once my spiritual faculty is there, I no need to train. The moment I sat down, my mind enters stillness. The whole thing doesn't move. Then later on, when I located the gateway, I move even faster. That's why finally, when your mind becomes so quiet, so tranquil, so still, no more movement, that is what paucity is all about. Enlightenment factor of tranquility, paucity, the silent mind, the tranquil stillness of mind. And when the mind becomes like that, means your mindfulness has become very stable. It has connect to your silent mind, your true mind. And when you are in the state of paucity, you don't do anything. You're just silent. And that is the mind that can understand. What they teach you to do is when your rising, falling become very subtle, when your object of meditation become very subtle, you know what they ask you to do? They say go and do sitting touching. You go and create mental activity again. Don't do that. Just silent. Because the mind that is in sati is very different. Do you understand what it means when the mind is in sati? When the mind is in sati, it means there is no heedless thinking, mental hindrance no more. When the mind is in sati, it is fully aware. Then I realize every moment of consciousness, hearing, fully aware. Even seeing, fully aware. That's how I came to know specific phenomenal awareness. The mind and the phenomenal move as one. The mind and the hearing consciousness is one. Then smell, taste, tactile, thought process, same. The mind that is in sati is ever mindful. That's how heedfulness come about. Then I realize I don't have to practice to be mindful. The moment I'm without thought, I already aware. And when I bow until the awareness come, the form and mind understand that is sati, no thought. Just form and mind move as one. Awareness and the movement as one. Then I came to realize what has been taught is completely different. That's how when I came out to share, my nature came out to share, it was so difficult teaching people who are so conditioned by thought-based meditation. But luckily, God Buddha's teaching. So at least you cannot say, I create one. If I create, who am I? I'm just a lay person. But like the Buddha said, investigate into it. It will stand up to investigation. So this is something for you to take home, for you to develop the understanding. So far, any question? I have explained how to develop until the third one, is it? Spiritual faculty, sati. The fourth one is very simple. When sati become very stable, it will become samadhi. It will become collected and unwavering. But it has to be very stable. Then when sati and samadhi is there, in the midst of life, as you live life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, your mind does not waver because there is samadhi. Then you see things as they are, not according to your mind's conditioning or what your thought tell you, what your views and opinion tell you. That's why that seeing is the direct seeing. It's not the normal seeing. The normal seeing is your memory behind. your views, your opinion, and your conditioning behind. That's why you cannot see things as they are. You see things according to what your memory tells you, your conditioning, your belief system, your views, and your opinion tell you. Yours is a conditioned thinking. Whereas the one with spiritual faculty, aware, mindful, that one is the direct seeing. No thought involved, no knowledge involved, no memory involved. It just understand there and then and awaken. That's how it can become enlightened. It will realize there and then without thought. To the direct seeing. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Not through a thought process. That's why Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time, akaliko. And it stand up to investigation, ehi basiko. Okay, with that maybe I will open up for Q&A, question and answer. Do you have any question? You meditated just now, right? Is there any question? We got another 11 minutes before those five precepts have to go for dinner. Any question? You just raise your hand, we pass you the mic. Or you are shy, write down. Is there any paper for them to write down? Pamasri? Oh, where is she? Oh, never mind, they're meditating. We will prepare some paper for them. Or inside the box, you can use them to write down whatever question you have. Okay, if you don't have any question, then maybe I will just read through to you the Heart Sutta. I will have to start the Heart Sutta note tonight. Otherwise, we don't have enough time. You turn to the Heart Sutta. There is a page 1, introduction. The title of the book is Heart Sutta Come Meditation Classes Short Notes, compiled from the weekly Sunday Heart Sutta Come Meditation Classes conducted by Brother Teo at Wubing Jingse, Mahayana Vihara. This is in section 11. Introduction. Sister Lee Siugek had in the year January 2012 invited Brother Teo to visit Wubing Jingse Vihara, and it was during that visit that Sister Lee had requested Brother Teo to conduct this weekly Heart Sutta Kam meditation class at Wubing Jingse Vihara. The first Heart Sutta class commenced on the 12th of February 2012, and it continues till the 19th of May 2013 for a period of about 15 months. This was then followed by a weekly Satipatthana Sutta class, Kam meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo for editing before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta Kam meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta Kam meditation class short notes comes about. Many Kayanamita who had attended the classes had found the short note to be very beneficial and rather useful. Hence the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive them later. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching of the Mahayana tradition, because Brother Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutta teaching to all the various essential Dhammas of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that Dhamma practitioner and cultivator can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Bradfield had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, how they come about, and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all the other teachings or essential Dhamma are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. So because my nature can link all the teaching together, that's why I can show it to you that they are just spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. All of the other essential Dhamma, they come from the Four Noble Truths. They are not separate teaching. But those who cannot understand, they thought it's separate teaching. In fact, they are all from the Four Noble Truths. It has always been Brother Teo's sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of these enclosed Heart Sutta notes, short notes, to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As these short notes were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing, as such, it may not be as complete as compared to the recorded talks. Hence, it is hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. Then for those who want to listen to a recording, they can download the talk from the various Dropbox link. We are contacting either Sister Lee Siugek or Brother Suyan. Now no need to contact them. Now you got a website, brotherteo.com. Brother Teo's Kayamita. That one, all the audio file, all the video file and the transcript books, email compilation, short notes, everything, they are all there. So you can easily access it after we launch at the beginning of this month, about 11 days ago, 1st of March 2017. Then acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Heart Sutta come meditation class short notes be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayanamita who had donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Lee Siugek, who had personally taken the initiative to prepare all the short note pointers for my editing. Then also Sister Padmasuri, Brother Teo, Sister Ingby, Sister Ellen Wong, and Sister Manyon, for their very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Dhamma book to have the condition to be printed for free distribution. We should thank them, shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harm and danger. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts, so that the world will be much more peaceful with greater harmony always. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who has donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible with metta always. This was dated 19 February 2017. 1.5. So your Skyamita, you also partake in this wholesomeness, because all of the printing of this book for free distribution come only from Skyamita fund, nobody else. Even if you are very wealthy, very rich, you cannot make this donation or offering, because we reserve it for Skyamita funds. So again, this just to benefit Skyamita, who have affinity to be together to walk the path of Dhamma. Skyamita is a Pali term meaning Dhamma friends. You go into the website, you will understand the whole concept behind Skyamitaship as proposed by Sakyamuni Buddha during his time, 2600 years ago. So the concept is not new, but I find it very interesting. It can create a big Dhamma family. It can allow all cultivators of the Dhamma to come together as Skyamitas. There are two types of Skyamitas. There is one that has the Dhamma, means they are already enlightened. The other one are normal Skyamita who walks the path of Dhamma sincerely, cultivating sincerely with faith to realize the enlightenment. And as Dhamma friend, you are very supportive of each other. And according to the Buddha, he said, if you want to become enlightened, the first prerequisite you must have is to have true Dhamma friends or noble friends. He said, noble friends is 100% of the holy life. Or Skyamitaship is 100% of the holy life. He told Ananda, Venerable Ananda. At first, Venerable Ananda thought it's only half of the holy life. He said, no, it's 100% of the holy life. Because without Dhamma friends, you will not listen to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma. Without listening to the true Dhamma, you cannot straighten your view and cultivate. Then you cannot exercise sense restraint. Then you cannot develop the right view, to straighten your view, to liberate your mind, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, leading to the seven factors of enlightenment, then leading to enlightenment and liberation. So Dhamma friends is the prerequisite for enlightenment. That's how the concept come about. Okay, 5:30, we have to go. No, we just pay respect, we chant the salutation, then we end with the three bow towards the triple gem. We were just temporary, because the closing puja is later on tonight. Now we will just do a simple one.
Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakasango sanghang namami.
Okay, we can pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Those who need to go for